2 weeks ago, so last Wednesday night, we got to hear from our brother, Aaron Ferlin, and the danger of being on the roller coaster. Thank God we got off the roller coaster. Roller coaster living is not for us. No, we're not going up and down. As a matter of fact, let me tell you, there's a verse in the Bible talking about Jesus. And it's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. We're very familiar with verse 6. That's the one that says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." But then there's verse 7. And it says that of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. That means always on the increase and never on the decrease. If it's good enough for Jesus, and whose peace did Jesus give us? If his peace is that way, think about this for a minute. And this is not planned, so this is extra. But think about this. If Jesus gave us his very own peace, then we should expect the peace that we have to be just like that. And Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." He didn't say, "I'm giving you peace 2.0 or another version." No, he said, "The very same one that I'm operating in, I'm giving to you." Which means if there's no end to the increase of his peace, and his peace is our peace, then there's no end to the increase of our peace. That means roller coaster days, bye-bye. Hey, and now a steady increase and a steady going up and a steady flow from now on into eternity. Glory to God. We don't have to say, "All right, well, I had my mountaintop, now we're down in the valley." You know, and it's not that you don't have hard times, because you do. Jesus said you would. So I'm definitely not saying you're not having hard times. But I'm saying is this, is that our reaction to those hard times does not have to go whoop, 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 like that. Like it has for a lot of us before. Thank God we don't have to live that way. So, Aaron, I just took your theme from last week and messed with it a little bit more. But praise God. But tonight we're going to talk a little bit more about what I talked about 2 weeks ago, that being spiritual eyesight. But we're taking it from a different direction tonight. When we talked about it the last time, that was the Brussels sprouts and the broccoli version, you know, that was very much the side of it that was more correction and more reproof from the Lord. This one will get you very excited, because it lets you know the reality of what is unseen. And even though you can't see it with these eyes, doesn't mean it's not real. It is very, very real. And you have eyes in your heart. You have spiritual eyesight. The Bible talks about, Paul prayed that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened in Ephesians 1. So we definitely have eyes in our heart. These eyes are meant to see things that these eyes can't see. Are you ready? Praise the Lord. Hey, so talking more about spiritual eyesight tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, when you're walking from the west side of the road to the east side of the road and you're crossing the street, you do need to walk by sight. Can I just say that? Please walk by sight. We don't want an unnecessary funeral to go to. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to the things of the Lord and the things of the Spirit, when it comes to that, we walk by faith and not by sight. And I heard this term probably about 2009, and just never forgot it, because it's just one of those things that it kind of You know, I like words, and when somebody says something and captures something in a real nugget kind of form or a creative kind of way, it just sticks with me. And it was, they put it like this, the importance of living above sea level. But sea is not S-E-A in this context. It's living above sea level, S-E-E. Living above the level of what you can see with your physical eyes. And that's what this lifestyle that the Lord has called us into will do for you. And it is a lifestyle because multiple times throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament, what's it say? The just shall live by faith, right? And then it connects faith with this verse that we walk by faith and not by sight. So that means we're not using these eyes to walk this kind of walk. We're using another set of eyes, the eyes of our heart. Amen. You know, John 20:29, remember when Jesus showed up in the room? First time Thomas wasn't there. This time Thomas was there. And Thomas got on his knees and said, "My Lord and my God," realizing the presence of the one who he was in, realizing that the presence of who was there in front of him, I should say. And Jesus said, "Because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are those who have not been able to see something physically, see something in a way, or shall we say, perceive it with any of the senses, whether it's sight, whether it's touch, you know, the idea of just perceiving with the senses, whatever the sense is. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That means tonight that if we're here in this room and we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, truly believe, which means, you know, when I say truly believe, that means we're not just talking about throwing out some words that sound good but don't mean anything. I'm talking about you believing in your heart, saying with your mouth, and you have corresponding actions to follow. A term that I've been using a whole lot lately is faith in motion, because that's what it is. You're not just saying something that doesn't mean anything. You're saying something that has teeth behind it. You're saying it with your mouth. You're believing it with your heart. And faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. So when you're doing this right, you've got corresponding actions. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You've got actions that back up your faith. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So here we are tonight, and let's say it. Jesus said, "I'm blessed." Say it right out loud. Jesus said, "I'm blessed. I've not yet seen him, but I'm blessed. I've not yet been able to reach out and touch him, but I'm blessed." Why am I blessed? Because I believe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And what kind of blessing is this? Well, one little hint that the Bible gives is that it talks about the things that are available to you in another realm beside this one. You see, we're so used to this one that we got to almost remind ourselves and pinch ourselves and be cognizant of the fact that this is not, everything's not here. There is a realm. There is a realm of the Spirit. A spirit realm that is very, very real and accessible to you, not someday down the road way out there, but right here today. Mm-hmm. Accessible to you right now. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." Another translation says that he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm. Wow. There's a heavenly realm accessible to us right now. And talk about this blessing that you get for believing when you don't see. This blessing is available to us right here through this heavenly realm. The Bible says it another way, that my God, this is Philippians 4:19, where he said, my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So there's this glory realm, and God's got riches there, and your needs here are not being met by your meager supply here. Your needs here are being met by the riches that he's got there in this realm of glory. Wow. This heavenly realm. That's where his blessings are that he's given to us. That's where his riches are that he is pouring out and sharing with us. So the Bible uses that term riches in multiple places. Talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ, the riches of his grace, the riches of the full assurance of understanding. There's several of the uses of that word, but where is this? This is in the heavenly realm or in the glory realm. Well, it would be nice if I had access to that. If only I had access to that, my life would be so much better. But where are you? The Bible says that we've died with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him. And now we're seated together with him in heavenly places. If you are in Christ, that's you. So if you're seated there in heavenly places, that means you are in the very place where these blessings are. You're in the very glory where these riches are. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, that's good reason for us to change our mode of operation here and not just think and go through life and talk and just have a paradigm or a way of seeing the world that limits us in this life only by what we have access to here. Oh, there's so much more. Oh, there's so much more. I don't want to be sold short. There is so much more. Amen. Let's go ahead and look at some of these guys that did it right. Come on. This is Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Wow, think about that for a minute. Being divinely warned of things not yet seen. What was he warned about? Well, he was warned that there was going to go ahead and be a flood all over the earth, that there was rain was going to fall out the sky. Well, what's rain? It had not rained on the earth till then. So literally, he's being warned of something coming that he had never seen before. Wow. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, what did this warning do? By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, he was moved with godly fear. He was moved with the fear of God, and he did something. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. When we start looking into the other realm and being able to pick up on the things that are there to see, in this case, something that God may even want to warn you about. Do you know that the Lord gives warnings? That the Holy Spirit shows things to come, which means he can go ahead and show you something to come that's a blessing and a positive, but he'll also be able to show you something to come that lets you know that if I go that direction, that ain't going to work out very well. Whoa! Thank God for his warnings too. I tell you what, in my life, if I had listened to every warning God had given me, whoa, life would be a whole lot better than it's been a few times. You know, the only times that that I look back and say, oh boy, is when you have those warnings. Oh, Gary, you've been feeding on being led by the Spirit. Look out, you know. Have that little something said, don't do it, don't do it. Divinely warned of something not even seen yet. Come on now. But thank God he's so kind and merciful. Amen. That right now, you know, he doesn't beat me up about the thing that I missed and messed up. Thank God. Are you glad about that? As a matter of fact, I've got the opportunity to be divinely warned. And even though I didn't get it the last time, thank God I can get it this time. Are you glad for the patience and the mercy of our Father? Glory to God. Well, let's go ahead and look in that same chapter. That's Noah. Let's look at Moses. This is Hebrews 11:27 out of the New Living Translation. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Now, you can't keep these eyes on someone who's invisible because these eyes can't see the invisible. So there's got to be another set of eyes you got. Praise the Lord. And that set of eyes, come on. When you are seeing through that set of eyes, you can see the invisible. You can see him, the one who is invisible. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what Moses did. Look at that same verse in the Amplified Classic. Motivated by faith, he left Egypt behind him, being unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king, for he never flinched, but held staunchly to his purpose and endured steadfastly as one who gazed on him who is invisible. How can you gaze on someone who's invisible? How do you do that? Well, you got to have another set of eyes besides these. And you do. The eyes of your heart. You can go ahead and look and see things that are not here in this realm. Look at this. This is Hebrews 11:10 out of the New Living Translation. So we went from, Noah, then we went to Moses. Now we're going back to Abraham here. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Abraham was confidently looking. Wow. Are you looking? You know, you can look even when you're not using these eyes. These eyes can be closed and you can still be looking. How is that possible? Well, look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's interesting here that we're looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and then it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That means that when Jesus was dying for us, when he was paying the price for us, he did not have all of his focus on what was happening there at the moment. The very thing that motivated him was the joy that was set before him, which literally tells me that Jesus was not looking at the cross when he was on the cross. He was not looking at the suffering that he was experiencing at the moment he was experiencing it. But he knew this, that the very reason why he was doing that was for the joy that was set before him. Which means he was looking ahead and seeing us, the joy that was set before him. Not just us here in this room tonight, but the whole body of Christ worldwide, those that are here on earth, those that have already moved on and have passed on from this life and are in the presence of God. Glory to God. But the whole body of Christ, that's the joy that was set before him. So he was not looking at the moment he was in. He was looking ahead. And what about us? We're not looking at the moment we're in and the situation we're in. And it's not that you're ignoring natural details. You take care of natural details, but we're not doing this naturally. We're supposed to live this life supernaturally. The Bible says through the Apostle Paul that we are not just mere men. Yes, we're men, we're human, we're subject to make mistakes, but at the same time, we need to realize who we are in Christ. Amen. Stand. Thanks be to God. Stand. So how can you gaze at someone who's invisible? Well, you can do so if you've got the eyes that can see into the invisible. And I want you to know that with the eyes of your heart, not the heart that pumps blood, but your heart, otherwise known as your spirit, the very center, the very core of you. With those eyes, you can see the invisible. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is so different from the way most people live life. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That tells me that it's possible there is a way that you can look at something that you can't see. So you can look at something that you can't see. Which means you're looking at something that can't be seen, but you're using the eyes of your heart to see things that you can't see. You know, so somebody once described it like this, they said that physical to physical is firm. Like, here's my wife. If I reach out for her hand, there, I'm not... That's a firm grasp. I'm not, you know, like a ghost or something that I'm going through her hand. You know what I mean? It's a firm touch. And spirit to spirit is the same way. Amen? Spirit to spirit is the same way. So therefore, I, with the eyes of my spirit, can see things spiritually. I can go ahead and see the blessings that are there provided for us by the Lord Jesus in the heavenly realm. I can go ahead and see the riches in glory that have been provided to us by Christ Jesus. I can go ahead and see Jesus. I can look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. Though he's not here, though he's currently seated at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. And I see him there, and I see him functioning in that ministry. I see him functioning as what the book of Hebrews calls the apostle and high priest of our confession, the apostle and high priest of what we say. Good reason to watch what we say. Amen. Oh, Lord. Now, think about this. The prophet Elisha, who received the mantle of Elijah, his predecessor. So you've got Elijah with a J and Elisha, S-H. Now, Elisha and his servant were in a house. And the servant looked out and realized, oh boy, we're surrounded. And he saw, if I remember right, it was the Assyrians that were gathered all around there. And he went and told his master, the prophet Elisha, about it. And this is Elisha's response. This is... 2 Kings 6, verse 17. This is Elisha's response when he said, look, there's thousands of them out there. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes that he may see. These eyes? No. He already looked with these eyes. He already saw what he saw with these eyes. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, one thing I didn't tell you, and you're going to love this line, is that Elisha, prior to this, told his servant, there are more that be with us than those that be with them. Woo! That's just wild. More that be with us than those that be with them. And so the servant, before his eyes got open, is thinking, okay, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000. Then looks at him and the prophet and says, 1, 2. He said, prophet, I don't know what calculator you're using, but your math is not working today. And then he said, Lord, open his eyes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. That's what we want. Lord, open our eyes. Oh, Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes. Open our eyes, Lord. Hallelujah. Remember the song? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Yeah. Open the eyes of our heart so we can see. We got to know this. Unseen does not equate to being less real than seen. Just because something is unseen does not equate it to being less real than what is seen. Because invisible words created the visible worlds, that the world that we live in, and figuratively speaking, all the other worlds that are out there as far as the planets and all of creation. Visible, invisible words created visible worlds. Because Hebrews 11:3 lets us know that through faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God, and that things which are seen were made of things which don't appear. In other words, those things which are seen were made of things that are not seen. So everything you see here, you, the person next to you, the chair you're sitting in, the walls, the ceiling, everything that you see in this room, you look out at all creation and anything that was created from creation. See, the Lord did not create chairs, but he put everything in creation by which men could figure out what to do and what to take some of this and some of that and to make one. But all of this was created through something that is invisible. The invisible word of God was spoken, and visible things came into existence. So unseen does not equate to being less real than what is seen. Invisible words created visible worlds. And listen to this. An eternal invisible thing can bring a temporary visible thing to nothing. Or I'll say it like this. That an eternal invisible thing can take a temporary visible thing and reduce it to nothing. Look at this. This is 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 27, 28 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And now listen to this. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. The things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. What on earth is that about? Is that talking about things which are not? Does that mean things which are not existing? No, it's not that they're not existing. It's just they're not existing in this realm. There's another realm, the heavenly realm, the glory realm. They're existing there. So it's not that they're not existing. They're just not existing here in this realm. Or you might say that God would use things which are not seen to bring to nothing the things that are seen. It's just another way of saying the same thing. So the things which are not, that does not mean they're not in existence. They're just not existing here in this realm, but they are existing in that spirit realm, in that heavenly realm, in which even right now we are, if we believe the Bible. Because what does the Bible say? It says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ, as we talked about earlier. But you know what it also says? It also says that right now that our citizenship is in heaven. That even though we're here residing in whatever city you live in, that you've got a citizenship in that realm. That you are part of that realm and you are an ambassador of Christ here, representing what things are like there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank God, thank God. Here on earth, just like it is in that realm. Glory to God. Now, this is the way God operates. And Paul, talking about Abraham in Romans chapter 4, uttered these amazing words that God raises the dead and calls those things that be not as though they were. Because this is the way God thinks. This is the way God sees. Because he's not limited to this realm. As a matter of fact, if anybody knows that other realm, you know he does. If anybody knows the blessings and the riches that are in that realm, you know he does, because he's the one who put them there. Hallelujah. So God calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Because even though they're not existing here, it's not that they don't exist at all. They exist in that heavenly realm. Thanks be to God. So that's why Abraham pushed around an empty baby carriage. That's why Noah was out in the middle of the desert with an umbrella and building a boat where there was no water nearby. He was not near a river or an ocean where he was building. So these guys are either crazy or they know something that we don't know or know something we need to know desperately. And I want to tell you tonight, they know something we need to know desperately. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping us to grow, Lord. Helping us to see what we need to see. Understand what we need to understand. God changed the name from... His name was Abram. God called him Abraham. And even the name Abram had a certain meaning to it, where he was the father of something. But then he went to Abraham, father of many nations, and was still pushing an empty baby carriage. Hey. I love it. But can you see something that's bigger than what you can see with these eyes? And is more real to you than what you can go ahead and perceive here in this realm? He got to the point where he absolutely believed anything and everything that God had to say, to the point where God could say, Abraham, go ahead and take your son, your only son whom you love, and go to the mountains of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering there. And the next morning he got up and went on a trip. Now, that kind of faith and confidence in God was not just born overnight, but that was developed as a relationship developed, as God said one thing, and I believed it, and it came to pass, and God said something else, and I believed it, and it came to pass. And now it's to the point where the Bible literally says about that particular incident is when God told Abraham to go and sacrifice his only son, that he went already considering that it was as good as done, that if God needed to, he would raise up his son from the dead. He already considered that done. Because that's how much confidence he had in this God he could not see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How do you define reality? See, a lot of times we've just defined reality, well, if I can see it, if I can touch it, taste it, smell it, whatever, it's real. And if I can't, then it's not. It's like you take the first four words of what Thomas said and the last four words of what he said, and it sums up to this. Except I shall see, I will not believe. And you got a whole lot of people right here in 2026 that are exactly that way. That does not have any place in the church. Now, we get to a certain point where we do all right, but we don't follow through on it all the way. You know what? We've gotten to a certain point where, praise the Lord, we're in the kingdom of God. We're believing in Jesus, whom we've not seen. And we've done well to do that, thanks be to God. But the thing is that we give ourselves a graduation ceremony and a cap and gown as though we arrived when we're still growing. When this is not just an incident or an occasion, and once you experience that particular occasion, you're done. No, we live this way. We live this way. Glory to God. Hebrews 11:1, it says this: now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance of things hoped for. Imagine that something that is not seen can be substantive and substantial to you, to the point where you are rejoicing about something or rejoicing about someone that you can't see, because that faith has given substance to you of what you can't see. It's substantive. It's like, you know, I need to be able to touch it, feel it. But what if you can't touch it, feel it, or touch him and feel him, and yet, because of your faith, he is just that substantive to you? The evidence of things not seen. Well, we need evidence. Show me the evidence. And that line there, show me the evidence, implies that in order for me to have evidence, I need to see the evidence. Let me see the evidence. This is talking about evidence of something you can't see. Now, either this other realm is real or it's not. Either Jesus is real or he's not. And if he's not, then we're just wasting our time. As a matter of fact, the founder of this church would say it like this, that if we're just wasting our time and none of this is real, then you might as well go ahead and eat, drink, and chase Mary. That's what he would say. We're used to the term eat, drink, and be merry. He changed that a little bit. Eat, drink, and chase Mary. Oh, Lord. So you can have evidence that something really exists, even though you can't see it. Now, this verse here is just absolutely amazing and beautiful. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, talking about Jesus. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. One more time, let it sink in. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him. So once again, emphasizing the fact that physically, with our physical eyes, we can't see him. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Because you can love and believe in somebody you don't see, and you can rejoice about something you don't see. So right here, we don't see him, but we love him. Anybody here love Jesus tonight? I said, do you love Jesus? We love him because he first loved us. Hey, hallelujah. We love Jesus. We love Jesus. We've not seen him, but we love him. We've not seen him, but do you believe? I said, do you believe? So we've not seen him, but we love him. We've not seen him, but do we believe him? Do we believe in him? Do we believe that he is the one who was and is to come? Hallelujah. And because we believe, we rejoice. We rejoice. You know, the founder of an organization called Full Gospel Businessmen, I believe he was from Armenia, if I got my facts straight. His name was Demas Shakarian, and he wrote a book called The Happiest People on Earth. Now, what's this about being the happiest people on earth, or to use that term, the most joyful people on earth? That here we are loving someone we can't see, believing in someone we cannot see, and yet we're rejoicing and we're excited about him. How is that? Well, that's the same spirit of faith by which Jesus told us that when men are persecuting you and reviling you and speaking evil of you because of your association with me, he said, rejoice and not just be a little glad, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets that were before you. So here we are, Jesus talking about this moment where it looks like you don't have a reason to rejoice. Here I am trying to love Jesus and be a good Christian, and they're not being nice to me. And what does Jesus say? Woo, 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 have yourself a fit. Have yourself a royal fit, a benefit, whatever kind of fit you want. Just have a good old happy time. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Not a little bit glad, exceedingly glad. And what did Peter say? He said, we rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Wow. And over what? Somebody we can't even see. But even though we can't see him, we love him. Even though we can't see him, we believe in him. Why? Because not seen does not equate to not real. Not seen just means you can't see with these eyes, but you can see with the eyes of your heart. Woo! Glory to God. Well, I want to skip over a few things here. Let's go ahead and look at some ways we can pray. 1 Kings 3:9. And this is King Solomon praying. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, and that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Now, the word discern is a very interesting word because it's got multiple shades of meaning, the Hebrew word for it. But part of the shades of meaning is to observe and to have insight. To observe and to have insight. And imagine if we can go ahead and speak to the Lord tonight, make requests of him tonight, and say, Lord, I need to discern some things. I need to be able to observe some things. I need to be able to have insight into some things. What does that have to do? That has to do with your spiritual eyesight. Glory to God. What about this? This is something Paul prayed for the church, Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And one of the shades of meaning of that word discernment, the Greek word that is used to being translated as discernment, another shade of meaning of that same Greek word is perception. You know, people, when you go to your eye doctor, they might talk about your depth perception. You know that term? So perception, the other word was the ability to observe or to have insight. Can we go ahead and get to a place where we've got more depth perception into the realm of the Spirit? That we've had enough insight to be able to see Jesus as our Savior. And thank the Lord for that. But you know what? Jesus to be Savior and Lord in your life is number one priority, no doubt about it. But can you go ahead and recognize Jesus as all the other things he is to you? That he's not just the one who takes care of you eternally, but also that he's willing to go ahead and take care of you in this life too. Can we go ahead and be able to have more depth perception into the realm of the Spirit where we're stopped thinking about things that only have to do with this life and making big deals and big issues over things that only have to do with this life and start prioritizing eternal things. Like Colossians chapter 3 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things above and not on things here on the earth. Depth perception, where we're not just thinking about the here and now, but we're actually thinking about things that matter in the realm of eternity. And Gary, I know you remember this, that if you only think about the external, but you're not thinking about the internal, then you're really not thinking about the eternal. How important is that? Very, very, very important. So our depth perception, to be able to go ahead and see things from the eternal perspective, because that's the way that God sees things, and that's the way God sees people. Oh, don't you want to see people the way God sees people? A whole lot will change, I guarantee you. Say one day, say, Lord, everywhere I go today, I want to see people the way you see them. Wow, there's going to be a whole lot changing in that day. But let me share this with you. And I heard this recently. I heard this on a live stream that I was listening to as a husband and wife couple, you know, wonderful ministers. And the lady pastor said something that was powerful. If it doesn't matter when you're standing before the throne of God, then it shouldn't matter now. Now that just knocked me between the eyes when I heard that. If it's not going to matter when you're standing before the throne of God, then it shouldn't be mattering now. And how many things, you know, when you think of that moment when you're standing before the throne of God and say, Lord, remember what they said, what they did? No, because that's not the moment where that's going to even come up. Because the Lord's not going to bring it up. And you're going to have at least enough sense then not to bring it up, because you're standing before the judge. you're going to say, Lord, I'm at a moment where I need, if I'm going to go ahead and reap some mercy here, I need to have some mercy sown. So I'm not going to go ahead and be rehearsing anything about anybody. I recognize that I'm here before you, standing on my own, and I have no plea before you except the blood that was shed for me. Hallelujah. The only thing that qualifies me to be able to stand before you, the only thing that would qualify me to enter into the joy of my Lord, is nothing except the fact that I put my trust in you, followed you, gave my heart to you, lived my life for you. I have no other basis. My only basis for ever being able to enter into the joy of my Lord is the fact that you're good. You loved me. You gave yourself for me. I did not earn this. And so if it doesn't matter on the day when we stand before him, don't let it matter today. Because you see, when stuff like that gets big and bothersome to you, what it's showing is that there's a problem with your depth perception. And you're seeing this as such a big deal and such a big issue, when in the grand scheme of eternity, it is nothing. Nothing, honey. N-U-T-T-I-N, nothing. Let's do this. Glory to God. Let's do this. Let's see with the eyes of our heart. Let's do what Ephesians 1 says, and we're going to go ahead and just close with this. Ephesians 1. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We don't have to go on. We can stay right there. When the eyes of your understanding, or some translations say the eyes of your heart, are enlightened, it's interesting. Remember before we talked about the riches of glory? We talked about the blessing that's in that heavenly realm, the riches that are in the glory realm. When we've got our eyes enlightened, we'll be able to know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's there right now. That's in that glory realm right now. But the thing is that without enlightened eyes, we don't know it. We don't recognize it. That's why join me in praying these prayers. Join me in as Solomon did, that I may discern between good and evil, that I may be able to observe and to have insight into what the difference is between going this direction or this direction. What's the difference? Help me to observe, to have insight into the difference. Help me to have the depth perception that I need to have. And Lord, I pray that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened. Thank you, Lord. Stand up with me tonight, if you would. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. As I stand before you here tonight, let it be known that this is not a side issue. This is not There's nothing in the word that's a side issue. But the thing that's so significant about what we're talking about here is we're talking about a way that the Lord said we're supposed to live. Let's go there. Let's go there. Where we're not visiting here or sometimes thinking about this, but realizing that the Lord wants us to live in this manner. Live in this way of being able to see things as they really are by looking beyond what we can see in this realm and looking into the other realm. That right now that we can literally look to Jesus. We can look to him. Even though we don't see him with these eyes, we can be just as impacted as though we could. Because though we don't see him, we love him. Though we don't see him, we believe. Though we don't see, we're rejoicing and are just as thrilled and happy as if he was right in front of us. That's the difference. So as I stand before you tonight, leave with this. This is not a place God wants you to visit. This is a place God wants you to abide. This is not something God wants us to do here and there. This is how we're called to live. The just shall live by faith, and we walk by faith and not by sight. And we have our eyes fixed on him, and we have our eyes, our affection set on the heavenly things, not on the things of the earth, the things that matter to God, the things that are His priorities. May they be ours. Amen. You are so loved tonight. And we look forward to seeing you Sunday on your way out. Those of you who have a cash or check to give, you can fill out an envelope in the back. Those of you who would like to go ahead and give by one of the other means, we've got text giving instructions right up there. You can text Faith CC Giving to that number up there. Website giving, faithccenter.com/giving. And of course, on the app as well. And if you've not got the app, get the app. That's a very useful thing to have. A whole lot of good FCC stuff, sermons, announcements, and other resources all right there, easily found in one place. Love you all. Be blessed. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Have a great night.